And now it's time for the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast. This is Frederick the Announcer, who is being handsomely paid in food and is wonderfully eating it right now. And I am here to introduce you to UberNerd 527. And now here he is, UberNerd 527.
That's right, Arcaders! Welcome to a proper episode of the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast! That's right, we're back after a very long hiatus of nothingness. I wanted to keep it going, I wanted to keep it fresh, so that's why I started the two mini-casts, which were Ruby Roundup and Pokemon Rewind. Now Pokemon Rewind is its own separate podcast, and Ruby Roundup has gone on hiatus because there's no new episodes of Ruby. So since that, I want to make sure I brought back Cartoon Connoisseur Theater. So we are starting this episode today with a brand new episode talking about some brand new cartoons and our feelings about them. And also, we're going to say goodbye to an episode, to a show that's very near and dear to my heart, as well as my co-host for Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, Danny, the Ultrasonic Player!
Woohoo! What's happening, Arcaders? Good to be back.
You know, life is like a hurricane. You know that, right? Did you know that?
With it being Duckburg, right here in Duckburg, basically.
Right here in Duckburg.
Forever, really.
Airplanes. You know, those kind of things. And you might rewrite history. Who knows?
Exactly.
So we're back. For those of you who are not familiar with Cartoon Connoisseur, the proper episodes of Cartoon Connoisseur Theater, we go over nostalgic trips of cartoons that we like. We go over news about new things that are coming up. We even talk about cartoons that we like or enjoy. Or this is a place to talk about cartoons. And this is a place for cartoon connoisseurs like myself, like Danny the Ultrasonic Player, and like you, the listener. So while we're talking about these things, we want you to actually reply to us. So please leave your comments below if you're listening to this on the Arcade Archives Network, because we're part of the Arcade Archives Network. If you go to thearcadearchives.com, you'll find a place to comment at the bottom. Please comment below. If you're listening to this on YouTube, please also comment below. And we're going to try to get this podcast out to other places as well, so other people can hear this podcast as well. Okay? So, Danny the Ultrasonic Player, are you excited for talking about today's subjects?
Yes, I am. Very much so. Slightly bittersweet, but even with that, it's all in good taste.
Right. So today we're talking a little bit about the present and a little bit about the future of TV animation, because we have got some very exciting things coming around the pipe that they have just announced recently, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But first, let's talk a little bit about a cartoon that's very near and dear to my heart, and something that I really wanted to make sure that I talked about on this episode and gave it a great farewell, because it means a lot to me personally, because if it wasn't for this TV show, I would not actually be podcasting right now. Because I used to listen to podcasts, but I wasn't really into anything until I started listening to this podcast called The Gravity Falls Gossiper. And because I started listening to this, I got really intrigued by the show Gravity Falls and also by the hosts of this podcast. Now, unfortunately, this podcast has what we call pod faded into obscurity. But it still was a great podcast to watch. On top of that, the show Gravity Falls was an amazing, amazing show, and something that at first, when I first saw it, I didn't really think two things about it. I can actually remember the first time I saw it. I was working at Disney. We were doing a special Phineas and Ferb program that we had guests actually interact with Phineas and Ferb in cartoon form, as opposed to Phineas and Ferb out in the parks and whatnot. And it was kind of a fun experience that I got to really have. Well, while I was doing this, I actually got to see a preview of Gravity Falls. Now, when I first saw it, I didn't really think of anything about it. I kind of thought that this was going to be kind of a kind of a weird show. And while I was correct that this was a weird show, I never knew how engaging this show would be. Now, what about you, Danny? What do you feel about Gravity Falls? Where was the first place you heard about it?
Well, the first time I heard about it was actually through promos that were going on Disney's own channel, Disney XD. And when I started seeing more of the promos, at first I really wasn't sure what to make of it. Then, as I started hearing more about it, especially specifically from you, and then when I started got a chance to actually watch a few of the episodes, I'm like, well, this is definitely a very interesting show because it wasn't your typical one, as I would later come to find out. And then as I started being able to sit down and actually watch a few of the episodes, it really caught my eye. It was like so many things. It was one of those rare animated shows that was not your typical one, especially when you take notice that the animation style had a very, it really did have an almost kiddish look to them almost. But yet, when you watch the episodes, you can tell that the producers and the animators, they really, really put a lot of different little nuggets that it's not obvious at first, but when you look beneath the surface of things, you find that, whoa, this is something that even adults can really get into. And while I haven't watched all the episodes yet, but again, from everything I've seen so far, it's got some really out there stuff, but it's told in such a way to where you just get caught up in it. You just get caught up in the intrigue and the mystery about it. And you really just find yourself just wanting to see more and just looking to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I really agree with the fact that this is a show that from the very beginning, the creator, Alex Hirsch, he had a plan. Now, it wasn't until the show was about to end that we found out that Alex Hirsch only wanted to do 40 episodes. He wanted to tell his story from beginning to end, and he wanted to end it. He didn't want it to go any further than the story needed to go. So he had this plan, and when they first announced that Gravity Falls was coming to an end, everyone got really angry at Disney. And Disney was like, whoa. This is the creator. He made this whole plan. He only wanted to do, I believe it's 40 episodes. I believe the whole show is about 40 episodes long. And he had this planned out from the beginning. And even from the beginning, you can actually see little things hidden all over the episode that point to future episodes. And it really kind of drags you in. I like it that it has several different layers. It was a very layered TV show because on the surface you have the usual story, the usual cartoon shenanigans and whatnot. But then you also had kind of more of a more what I call like, I wouldn't say adult humor. I would say more mature humor. Does that make sense? It wasn't anything that you would find on like Adult Swim or anything like that, but it was a little bit more mature than your usual cartoon. The other thing I like about it is that it's one of those cartoons that doesn't talk down to the audience. It doesn't talk down to them. And it's something that's really fun. And then on top of that, there's a whole mystery that conspiracy theorists and all these people who like to like point these things out and look at all this different stuff can really just latch on to. Another thing that I liked about it too is that it even made references to Disney itself, which I thought was actually quite ingenious. I believe that there's a couple episodes with direct lines from Disney, and I believe one of them is near the end of the show. One of the characters actually says an entire line from A Little Mermaid, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. But it was a smart show, it was funny, and it hooked me from the first episode. Like, usually, some shows, you have to watch a couple episodes to kind of get it. Some animes, you have to watch an entire season before you finally understand, oh, okay, I get it now. But this show hooked me from episode one, and I just really latched onto it. I think the characters that I enjoy the most are the main characters, which are Grunkle Stan, Dipper Pines, who is my favorite out of the three, and Mabel Pines. I think all those characters were very smartly done. The voice actors and actresses that did these characters were actually very good as well. And by the way, Alec Hirsch, the creator of the show, did Grunkle Stan's voice and several other different characters throughout the series. So, they did such a great job with the acting, with the stories, with the mysteries. I mean, even the fact that at the end of the credits there was a secret message that you could decode, that was really, really intriguing to me, that they would go that far as to really make this show a mystery. And even some people, I've never actually seen this show myself, but some people compared this to a show back in the day called Twin Peaks. Now, again, I've never actually seen this show. I don't know if you've seen it either. A lot of people compared it to that. And I really did enjoy this show, and I enjoyed the writing. One of the funnest things about this, I love how everything is connected with a lot of things, especially things that I like. Yeah. There's a lot of things that I love that have connections that I didn't even see coming when I started loving the show, and then as it kind of progressed, one of the best connections to the show is that one of the writers for Gravity Falls is the creator of one of my favorite web shows, Strong Bad, Homestar Runner. It was Matt Chapman. He helped create the Homestar Runner universe, the whole Homestar Runner website, and he did the voices of pretty much every single character except the one girl character, which was Marzipan. This was a really big deal for me. In fact, he even came on and did a couple of voices. I know he did a character called Mermando, who was in an episode, Mabel Falls in Love with This Mermaid. And he did Matt Chapman did the voice for Mermando. He did the voice of one of the boys in the boy band that they meet, which I have to say is one of my favorite episodes. That boy band episode is hilarious, man.
Wow.
So for those of you who have never actually seen the show before and kind of confused what we're talking about, Gravity Falls is about these twins, sister and brother, and their parents ship them off to Gravity Falls, Oregon. Gravity Falls, Oregon. They're in Oregon. And so they have to live there for the summer with their Grunkle Stan. He's called Grunkle Stan because it's a mix of great uncle, Grunkle.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I found out I met my great uncle not too long after I started watching it, and I actually went up to him and said, "Can I call you my Grunkle?" And he said yes, so I was very, very happy about that.
Wow.
I was like, "I have a Grunkle! Yay!" So, Grunkle Stan owns this tacky, tourist-trappy mystery shack out in the middle of Gravity Falls. And he's definitely a charlatan, a kind of a classic, kind of a what I call like a classic con man. Those kind of con men that you see in the you know, the old school cartoon, you know, like the Music Man or something like that. He's very suave. He's very he knows what to say and when to say it. He's very, but he's also very old.
That's very true, yep.
But I have to say, I love Grunkle Stan, I love Mabel, I love Dipper, and I love all the characters around them as well. Now, that's basically the premise of this show, and as you go through it, you find out there's a mystery surrounding this town and around everything that's going on. You find that there are these mythical creatures and this book with a hand on it, with numbers on it. And you find that there's a mystery going on. There's something going on in this town, and Dipper and Mabel decide to kind of find out what it is. It's also very funny because it never takes itself too seriously. This show take itself too seriously. And there are just some fun episodes that are just hilarious, and some jokes that absolutely make me laugh. I'll go ahead and just do one real quick. So there's an episode where Grunkle Stan decides to get more money by making a giant fair outside the Mystery Shack. So he gets all these rides and attractions. One of my favorite things is it shows Dipper falls from the sky in a sky bucket. And says, Grumbles Dan, I think the sky bucket is broken. Which is actually a reference to Disney. Because Disney used to have the sky buckets. But I believe it didn't happen at Disney specifically. But it happened somewhere where they had sky buckets very similar to Disney. And they broke and fell. And so Disney kind of just got rid of theirs. So it was basically a reference to Disney in that respect. But then Grunkle Stan says, "All right, Dipper, I want you to make yourself useful. Put these grade A on all the attractions and rides." And Dipper's like, "Grunkle Stan, isn't that illegal?" And he turns to him and says, "If the cops aren't around, anything's legal." So, you know, there's all kinds of jokes and fun stuff like that. I can't really pick my favorite episode. There's a lot of episodes that I really, really love. And they've had a lot of really, really big guests on the show. One of my favorite stars, Nathan Fillion from Firefly, from Castle, he played a role in Gravity Falls because he was actually a big fan of the show. Another person, actually... We're going to be talking about a little bit later on Weird Al Yankovic, the singer, the guy who sings all the really fun and parody songs. He played a character in that show, and they even had all kinds of characters. I forget the actor's name, but he played Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2. And I forget his name. He's a really good actor too.
Alfred Molina.
He was on there. They had a whole bunch of people that appeared in the show, and I was shocked to see how many people they actually had, and it was a lot of fun, and it's a fun show, and I'm very sad to see it go. And to everyone who, if I don't know if you're listening to this podcast or not, but to everyone who worked on that show, to Alex Hirsch, who, by the way, based this show off his own childhood, because he is actually, like Dipper and Mabel, he's actually one half of Twin Set. He has also his sister, who actually voiced a character in the show at one point.
Wow!
So that's kind of a neat thing to find out about that. You know, this is loosely based off his life. It's not a true story, but it's loosely based off his own experiences as a kid. So
emphasis on loosely.
So thank you very much for a great show, guys. And you did a bang-up job, so thank you very much. And we are sad to see it go, but we're glad that you got to tell the story that you got to tell. Anything you want to end with Gravity Falls?
Like I said, I mean, I've only been able to see a handful of episodes, but the ones that I have seen, they're just amazing, and you just get caught up in everything that's going on. And, of course, whenever Grunkle Stan's around, you know, he just cheers up the scenery. And, of course, you know, I mean, to say nothing of some of the other characters, like Foos and everyone else, you know, everybody just adds something to the table.
Right.
Now, it is sad to see, you know, the show go, but the fact that it's the showrunner who's making that decision, and the fact that the showrunner already had an idea in mind, and saying, yes, this, it is going to end, but... it's ending the way I want it to end. That is a very rare thing, because especially these days in animation, most shows, unfortunately, as you know,
just keep running and running and running and running and running into the ground, and it gets old after a while.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. I was going to say that there are certain shows that sadly they end abruptly before they ever get a chance to really, really get interesting.
Oh, okay.
You know, all right. Yeah, like the most notable examples that I can think of are the Spectacular Spider-Man animated series, and the Young Justice cartoon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We might get a season three with that. We might get a season three with that, but that's only if people watch it on Netflix. So,
but again, like I said, because it's one thing if the show, again, like I said, more often than not, great shows tend to get canceled way before they're even allowed to even have an actual ending. But the fact that the creator actually is the one who's making the decision, but only because that was the idea right from the word go, is a very smart move, and B, a very, very rare thing, because you don't get, most producers don't get a chance to do that. Very few do.
Right.
Two other producers, Brian Konisko and Michael DiMartino, who, of course, as Avatar fans know, these are the guys who gave us Avatar The Last Airbender.
Right.
And, you know, and they, pretty much from the word go, for at least my understanding of it, is that those two cats pretty much already had the beginning, middle, and end already planned out well before they even got started.
Awesome.
Or at least that's my understanding of it. Or at least they were able, they pretty much already knew where the story was going to go, and they were able to work towards an ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's always a good thing, because, you know, at least, even though, granted, it's always been a sweet ending a show, but if you know that you actually are working towards an actual ending, then, you know, it makes it a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree.
Most producers don't get a chance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for any show in general, both animated and otherwise.
All right. Well, thank you again for all those who worked on Gravity Falls. We really appreciate that show and really appreciate everything you guys have done on it. So if hopefully you're listening to this, thank you so much. So let's move on to the future. The future. Let's go
to the future.
So next we have a show that, as when I was younger, I didn't really like it first. And the reason I didn't like it is because it looked so girly. It was so girly. And I just didn't like it because, you know, I was a young kid. I say kid, but I was probably in middle school, a little bit of high school. I saw it and I was just like, no, absolutely not. This is a girly show. I don't like it. But then, one day, I was at a friend's house and they were watching this show. And I saw an episode. The episode is called Rainy Day. And it was an episode where these characters couldn't go outside because it was raining outside. So they decided to kind of make their own adventure in the house. And that episode got me hooked. And if you don't know what show I'm talking about right now, the show is called Powerpuff Girls. And let me tell you, I loved Powerpuff Girls. I absolutely enjoyed it. In fact, I actually bought the entire series box set when it came out. I have the entire series on DVD, and I've actually watched the whole show over and over and over again. I love the Powerpuff Girls. Well, I got a little bit nervous and also a little bit excited that they were bringing back Powerpuff Girls. I got really excited about this. What about you, Danny? What do you think about Powerpuff Girls?
I remember that. I remember seeing the promos for that show way back when. So at first I thought, okay, this is a little bit interesting. But the fact that it was, you know, three girls, I'm like, no thanks, I'll pass. But the funny thing is that my younger sister got so caught up into that show that I almost wondered if I was going to have to get like a pry bar to pry her away from the TV when the show came on. I never got to that point, but I was sort of starting to wonder if I had to. You know, because if I had to pry her away from the TV just so she could not watch the show. But then when she got up to it, I was curious about what it was, and then I found out that, you know what? Yes, it is a show with three girls as the protagonist, but you know something? It is a fun show, and yes, if you're a guy and you saw this way back when, be proud. You got nothing to be ashamed of because
you got nothing to be ashamed of.
You didn't have to worry about it.
Now,
you did not have to worry about, oh no, I shouldn't be watching this.
Right.
I can't help it. No, this is fun.
Now, this show also was created by one of my favorite, animation heroes, Craig McCracken, who also created shows like Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, and actually helped with Dexter's Laboratory and Samurai Jack and you know, different shows like that that kind of made Cartoon Network what it is today. And Powerpuff Girls was another one of those shows that really made Cartoon Network as popular as it was back in the 90s. It was such a different show. It was such a unique show from all the other TV shows on the air. In fact, it was so unique that Japan somehow got the rights to Powerpuff Girls and made an entire anime called Powerpuff Girls Z. And it's if you thought Powerpuff Girls was girly, this takes it up a notch. It was like superheroes meet Sailor Moon. It was a magical girls anime. Let's just say that. I saw one episode. I'm like, okay. This isn't the Powerpuff Girls I'm used to. But I will have to say, I really did love the show. It was very unique. It ran for a very long time. And it was one of the only theatrical releases. I think Dexter's Laboratory was another one that they did theatrically. But it was one of the theatrical releases that they did. And that Powerpuff Girls movie is phenomenal. Phenomenal movie. And if you haven't seen it, it's such a great movie. It really, really is. But let's stop talking about the past. Let's talk about the present. So Powerpuff Girls comes back. Now, it came when the announcement that they were bringing back Powerpuff Girls back to Cartoon Network, everyone got really excited, and then they hit us with a big ball-peen hammer and said, by the way, we did not bring the original Powerpuff Girls, E.G. Daily, Tara Strong, and I forget the third one.
Kathleen Cavanaugh, or...
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, they did not even ask them to come back to the show. I don't know why, but they didn't even ask them to come back. They got three new actresses to play these three characters. And the only original cast members that they brought back were the voice of the professor, Tom Kenny, who did the narrator and the mayor, and Jennifer Hale, who did Mrs. Keene, who is reprising her role, but is not reprising her role as Princess, one of the villains of the show. I don't know how I felt about it. I think the original voice actresses were kind of hurt in some way, but also at the same time, they just like, well, that's just our business. That's just how it works. You know?
Yeah.
So I was a little bit afraid. So then recently, I think Cartoon Network kind of understands that the original Powerpuff Girl fans are a little bit apprehensive about this show. So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to slowly bring it back and kind of give people a taste for it and then kind of get people hooked, because they've been slowly trickling out. This year, they've been slowly trickling out new information, they even showed the new theme song, which I think is pretty cool. I think the theme song is actually really cool. They're also bringing out shorts that have been coming out recently about, the first one was with Buttercup, the next one was Bubbles, and I'm very sure they're going to come out with a Blossom one here in a little bit. So I saw Air Buttercup, which was the first short, and then the other one was Bubbles Beauty Blog. Say that three times fast. Blossom's Bubbles Beauty Blog. And I saw Buttercup, and I will have to say, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool. The voice actresses do a great job of kind of sounding like the characters that they're supposed to sound like, but at the same time kind of giving it their own personality. They're not too different. From what I can tell from the new theme song and from what I saw in the shorts is that the Powerpuff Girls are just a little bit older. They're a little bit older than what they were previously. Now, previously they were preschoolers. They were in preschool. But now it looks like they are, at the very least, they're in elementary school. Maybe middle school, depending. I'm not exactly 100% sure. That's what it looks like from the video. But they're definitely in an older school because they have lockers, they have, they have things that they haven't had before. And also, the Powerpuff Girls now have a cell phone, which they didn't have before. Bubbles looks a little bit different than she did before. She actually has like a little ties on her pigtails. But I think that's really the only difference. I think they kept the girls pretty much the same. The voices, again, sound very much like the characters. The first one was just Buttercup, Blossom, and Bubbles. And the premise of the short was Buttercup was bragging about she was the best shot. And she threw her trash that she got at the cafeteria. You know, she just ate her lunch. And she balled it up and threw it. And right before she showed it, she said, "Hey, I'm like the best shot ever." So she shoots it and misses completely. And then, you know, Blossom, being the ever antagonist to Buttercup, is like, you know, "Oh, yeah, I guess they call you Air Bubbles because, I guess they call you Air Buttercup because you just shoot nothing but air balls." And then, you know, of course, Buttercup gets furious and starts trying to throw, you know, anything she can into that trash bin. And she ends up, like, trashing the entire cafeteria. Meanwhile, while Buttercup is trying to do this, Bubbles is doing, like, play-by-play, like, sports announcing with her little stuffed animal, Octi, which is absolutely hilarious. And then Bubbles beauty blog, I've only seen bits and pieces of it, but from what I can see, it definitely has that old Powerpuff Girls, flair to it, where at the same time it's kind of bringing it to a more modern age. So as you can tell from the title, Bubbles has a beauty blog where she teaches, I guess, people on the internet how to be beautiful, how to use makeup and whatnot. And it's funny because she gets the professor to put on this makeup and he looks like a clown. And then it pulls back the camera from the video and it shows Mojo Jojo is actually following the instructions. but I'm excited for this. What are your feelings? I want to know your feelings a little bit more, Danny. What do you feel? Do you feel that this is going to bring it back the way it was, or do you feel that this is going to be they're going to completely change it and get people angry?
I think the fact that they pretty much have at least, you know, the stamp of approval from the original creator, Craig McCracken.
He's not working on the show, by the way. He is not working on this show. He is actually under contract with Disney right now, and he's doing a show called Wander Over Yonder, which, to tell you the truth, I haven't really seen enough episodes of that show to kind of put a stamp of approval or a stamp of non-approval on it. So, but, you know, it's some people do like it. It's keep going on Disney XD, but that's why he can't come and do this Powerpuff Girls series.
He's definitely, you're right, he's definitely not working on the series, but he did give his own thumbs up on the same.
Right.
He did do that. So I think the fact that they had his blessing pretty much means that he probably saw some concepts and ideas that the new producers are going to be doing. So I seriously doubt that he would have approved of it if they were going to just
wreck it entirely.
So I think the fact that he would give his approval on it, even though he's obviously not working on it, and the fact that they were able to at least get Tom Kenny and Jennifer Hale in to be a part of it, you know, at least it kind of shows that they are going to at least still stay true to the original. They're going to stay true to, I believe that they're going to stay true to the essence of what these characters are, which is what, you know, they're going to stick to the essence. I believe they're going to stick to the essence of what made the original show great. And as long as they do that, they can pretty much do whatever they want. If they start to deviate from the basic core of what makes Blossom, Bubbles, and Buttercup, you know, special, then the fans are going to let them happen.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I already know one fan, and I won't tell her name, but she's one of my friends, who is a huge Powerpuff Girl. She loves Powerpuff Girls, but she is not excited about this new episode, this new show. I, on the other hand, I'm willing to give it a little bit of a shadow of a doubt. I want to see what they do. So far, what they are doing is impressing me. So it's not, it's going to be Flash animated, which is a little different from the original. The lines aren't so thick. The lines aren't so thick like they used to be. They're much thinner than they used to be. Especially around the three girls themselves. Their lines are very thin now. There are some differences, but at the same time, it's also very, very exciting. Now, I'm going to throw something in here that we didn't talk about, but I'm going to throw it out here because it kind of has to do with Powerpuff Girls. Because not only is Powerpuff Girls coming back, but they also announced that there's another fan favorite Cartoon Network show that's coming back that got me super excited. But at the same time, when they announced where they were putting the show, I kind of got a little apprehensive about it. So, one of my favorite shows from Cartoon Network was Samurai Jack. It was such a great show. Such a wonderful show, and made by another one of my heroes, Genny Tartakovsky, who did who created Dexter's Laboratory, Samurai Jack, who did the original Clone Wars, Star Wars Clone Wars animated shorts, which, in my opinion, I loved. Now, there are people who are divided over whether they love it or don't. I enjoyed them. I thought they were really good. But
I enjoyed the shorts, too. I mean, they were fun.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. Whether they actually connect to the actual Clone Wars series that they did, I don't know. Kind of looks like they might have done it.
I think for a while they did, and I believe there was actually one episode, and it was one of the final episodes, I believe, that actually led up to that led up to episode 3.
Right.
But at least that's what we all thought. But now that Disney's gotten a hold of it. Yeah, everything that isn't Clone Wars, basically everything before Disney bought it that wasn't exactly everything before it is no longer canon. And unfortunately, I think that also applies to Tarkovsky's.
But let's
Clone Wars counts as does everything else after that. But
all right, let's talk because we're going to be talking about Star Wars a little bit later. But let's talk a little bit about Samurai Jack. Now, I'm very excited about seeing Samurai Jack back. It is in my opinion, it's one of my favorite Cartoon Network shows besides Powerpuff Girls, besides Dexter's Laboratory, even Johnny Bravo I really enjoyed. One thing that made me very apprehensive about this show, one thing that I'm very, very, it's kind of scaring me a little bit, is that this is going on Adult Swim. This is not going on the regular Cartoon Network channel. This is going on Adult Swim. Now, does that mean that this is going to be a more mature show than the original? Does that mean that they don't feel that the kids of today will enjoy it and they're just putting it on Adult Swim because they're really gauging it to the audience that grew up with Samurai Jack that are now old enough for Adult Swim? I don't know. My thing is that one of the things I loved about Samurai Jack was it was an action show that I could watch and I could have kids sitting next to me and be perfectly okay watching it. Right? It's one of those very, very few and far between action shows that I didn't mind watching it with like kids around me or, you know, or my mom watching it with me, even though she thought it was crazy that I was watching it. That's another story entirely. Do you think that is why it's on Adult Swim?
I would imagine so. Because most cartoons that are going to be shown on Adult Swim usually tend to skew more towards a slightly older audience. I know that they show American Dad and Family Guy more times than they should during that time period nowadays. But, I would imagine that they're going to basically just up the ante in regards to storytelling and make it a little bit more sophisticated. And I think that would be just a natural progression.
Well, unlike...
As long as they don't...
Okay. Oh, sorry. Unlike Powerpuff Girls, Genndy Tartakovsky is coming back for this. He is coming back to Cartoon Network to oversee this and make sure that they, I guess, go in his vision of Samurai Jack. So that's because he's done, right now, I believe he's done with Sony after the Popeye thing, which, by the way, that Popeye short was amazing, and I don't understand why Sony didn't bite with that, but, you know, whatever.
I didn't even know that he did a Popeye cartoon.
Yeah, he was pitching an idea to do a Popeye movie with Sony Animation, the same people that he did Hotel Transylvania with, because he did the first two Hotel Transylvanias. with Sony, and he was pitching an idea to do a Popeye short and to do a Popeye movie. And he did this short because one of his mentors that he learned how to draw with was actually an animator on Popeye. And so he's actually a pretty big Popeye fan. So I'm excited, but I'm also a little nervous at the same time. I don't think that this is going to be a rated R version of Samurai Jack.
Oh no!
I'm still a little apprehensive. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. So that's my little thing. All right. So let's go on to our next topic. So like we hinted at the beginning of this podcast, let's talk a little bit about DuckTales. Woo!
Yep.
So DuckTales was announced that it was be that they were working on a brand new series, and it was going to be coming out in next year, 2017, on Disney XD.
Yep.
Which, by the way, let me do a very, very quick aside. I really enjoy Disney XD. Not every show that they have on there is perfect, but I have to say, Disney XD is actually giving Cartoon Network a run for its money.
Yeah, they really are.
And also, like, I even think Disney XD is actually eclipsing the original Disney Channel. Because, to tell you the truth, except for Girl Meets World, like, I know a lot of people watch Girl Meets World on the channel. I can't really think of anything else that people watch on Disney Channel anymore.
No, I can't think of anything else either besides that.
Yeah, so I used to love watching Boy Meets World, and I have not even seen Girl Meets World yet, so. Anyways, little aside, wanted to throw that out there. Anyways, DuckTales, just recently they brought out an image of the new DuckTales, what they're, a kind of a concept art of what they're thinking of doing for the new DuckTales. Now, for those of you who have not seen this image, basically it's Uncle Scrooge, he's driving a Jeep, they're in the middle of a jungle. Huey, Dewey, and Louie are sticking out of the sides of the Jeep, along with what we think is Webbigale.
I think that's her. Yeah.
But the most surprising part was who was on the top of that Jeep, and of course, it's none other than Donald Duck himself. Now, for those of you who are cartoon connoisseurs from way back when, the original DuckTales didn't really feature Donald Duck that often. He did pop up in episodes here and there. He popped up in the first episode, and then he kind of popped up in a few episodes here and there. But he wasn't a staple of the show. Now, what we are all gleaming from this is that Donald Duck is going to be part of this show, which is kind of goes along the lines of the original comic, because Donald Duck was a huge part of the whole, you know, adventures with Uncle Scrooge and whatnot. So.
Yep.
What did you think of this image when you first saw it, Danny?
Well, I have to say, I'm kind of in two minds of the whole thing, because on the one hand, I'm glad that DuckTales is finally coming back, you know, because even as a little kid, and even watching reruns, and even up till now, you know, I still feel there's a lot more left to be told about, you know, the further adventures of Scrooge McDuck and his nephew, and just all the crazy things that they get up to. But I have to admit, I mean, looking at the image, and I'm looking at it right now, it does kind of look like, if that's the look they're going for, then it's kind of harkening back to basically the original classic look that these characters used to have way back when. And, or put more specifically, it looks like they might use the same animation style they're using in the new Mickey Mouse cartoon.
Yeah, a lot of people say that, but I disagree. I think it looks more like that old comic style than the actual new Mickey Mouse shorts that they've been doing. Because Donald looks a lot different in those shorts than he does on that picture. That Donald looks more like the Donald we're used to, as opposed to the more stylized Donald Duck that they have in those shorts. But that's just me. That's just how I see it. Now, a couple of things that were pointed out in another video that I watched. If you notice, Huey, the one in red, is the only one wearing the traditional hat that the three nephews wear. If you've ever seen Huey, Dewey, and Louie before, they usually wear a t-shirt, depending on who they are. They wear a red, a blue, or a green shirt, and then they wear a hat on. Now, Huey is actually the only one wearing the hat. Dewey and Louie have completely different clothes. And they look a little bit older. Now, there was a show that came out long after DuckTales had ended called Quack Pack, where they actually aged Huey, Dewey, and Louie for the first time ever. And it wasn't a terrible show, although I still think DuckTales was better. I did enjoy the show. I guess I'm one of the very few people who did. But I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I saw Quack Pack, you know, I saw a little bit of it. I mean, it was okay. The part that was kind of weird, it was seeing the guys talk a little bit more teenish, you know? I mean, it was kind of strange.
Right.
Seeing them talk like that. But on the one hand, I didn't find it off-putting, but it was just kind of, but it was a little weird.
Right.
It was a little strange, but... You know, I mean, once I got past that, it was okay. I mean, granted, did it have the same kind of bark that DuckTales did? Not so much.
Right.
I mean, it was okay on its own, but...
Yeah,
If Disney was trying to create a successor to DuckTales, I don't think they did a good job in that sense.
If you look at the picture, they're all wearing different clothes. So Huey's in the traditional outfit. Louie has kind of a short sleeve shirt, I believe, if I remember the photo correctly. And Dewey is wearing the short sleeve. Louie, who's the only one wearing green, is wearing kind of a hoodie.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of weird. And then Webigail looks completely different than her original design. Now, there are some people who like Webigail. There are some people who didn't like Webigail. Some people thought she was annoying. Some people thought she wasn't. I don't really care one way or the other. So I'm kind of glad that she's a little bit more older. I think that this is going to appeal to the younger kids, especially the girls that are watching it. I don't know if they're going to change her attitude a little bit more. Instead of being the frail little girl, they're going to make her a little bit more adventurous, I think. But I think the most surprising part of that picture was seeing Donald Duck. Seeing Donald Duck part of this adventure. And also seeing him in his, like, original, like, comic book-looking costume was another surprise. One of the things that was really surprising about DuckTales was, it never really had Donald Duck. Very few of the shows that they had during the Disney afternoon had those main characters like Mickey Mouse or Minnie or Goof, later on they had Goofy. But, you know, you never saw Donald very often in DuckTales. You didn't see Mickey Mouse and Goof Troop. Never saw any other characters in, like, Tailspin. And Chip and Dale never met Pluto or anything else in Rescue Rangers. So, you know, those worlds never really collided in a way. The one thing that I'm very excited about is I'm very excited to see this because especially most of the animators probably working on this show have probably grown up with DuckTales. And are probably fans of it. And if history has taught us anything, I feel a lot of times the fans make a better show than people who have no idea. Now, there are some exceptions, so please don't get me wrong, okay? Because, you know, M. Night Shyamalan was a huge fan of Avatar The Last Airbender, and we already know how screwed up that movie was. So, it's not always the case, but... You know, on the good side, you have a show like the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who is being headed by a huge Ninja Turtles fan. He loves the Ninja Turtles.
He is a huge fan.
He is a huge Ninja Turtles fan. He doesn't want to screw it up. He wants to bring it new. And I'm very excited for the crossover with the classic Turtles. I really want to see that episode, even though I haven't really been keeping track with the new show. I have watched the whole first season of the new Turtles. I was very impressed. I really can't wait to see what they do with DuckTales. Now, some characters I would love to see for DuckTales. Gizmo Duck. Give me Gizmo Duck. I want Gizmo Duck. I want Gizmo Duck to have his own show. I want Gizmo Duck. Give me Gizmo Duck. And then, of course, the number one thing I want to see, if this DuckTales is successful, I demand to see a Darkwing Duck show. I demand them to bring Darkwing Duck back.
Well, he didn't come back in the comics.
Right, but I demand that if DuckTales is a success, that they bring Darkwing Duck in. And that's another thing that was very surprising. There's one character missing from that picture. You know who that character is?
Beakley?
No, not Miss Beakley.
The butler, what's his name?
No, not the butler. Someone that DuckTales would not be...
Launchpad McQuack.
That's right, Launchpad McQuack. Launchpad McQuack is missing from that picture. Where is he? He has to be in the show.
Yeah.
I hope they bring him back.
One of those things where we don't see him until like the very end of the pilot episode, or...
Well, I'm hoping they bring him back. I really want Launchpad McQuack back. And then if they bring Launchpad, they better bring Darkwing Duck. That's all I gotta say. Darkwing Duck needs to come back, man. He needs to come back. I miss him. Alright, enough about DuckTales, because if I don't stop now, I'm just going to get emotional and start riffing on Darkwing Duck. So, alright, the next item that we're going to talk about is another future show coming out soon that we don't really have a lot of information about. In fact, these next couple of ones, we don't really have a lot of information. I can speak English. I've done some research on it, but there really isn't much on the internet right now. The first show is by the creators of Phineas and Ferb, and it's called Milo Murphy's Law. Now, from what I could dig from the show, this Milo Murphy is the kind of descendant of the guy who created Murphy's Law. And for those of you who don't know what Murphy's Law is, watch Jurassic Park. Murphy's Law states that whatever can go wrong will go wrong. And that's the basic part of it. And so he's like a descendant of the guy who created that law. And so now his life is in this, like, this utter just chaos because of it. Everything just goes wrong. The most impressive part, besides the fact that this is created by the guys who created Phineas and Ferb, which, by the way, is another one of my favorite Disney shows. Phineas and Ferb, very, very good show. Is that guess who is the lead character's voice? Guess who voices the lead character, which blew me away when they announced this.
Weird Al Yankovic.
That's right. Weird Al Yankovic is voicing the main character, Milo Murphy. I got super excited. I'm really, really happy. You know, Weird Al has been doing a lot of different... He's actually been doing a lot of cartoon shows as of late. He's appeared in Gravity Falls. He's appeared in Adventure Time a couple of times. He was in My Little Pony. They made a pony specifically for Weird Al called Grilled Cheese, which absolutely hilarious. If you've never seen that episode, it's absolutely just wonderful episode. He's been doing a lot of different appearances in cartoons, and now he's actually the star of this show. And the fact that the creators of Phineas and Ferb love music and they created a new song for every episode of Phineas and Ferb gets me to wondering if that means they're going to do the same thing for Milo Murphy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're going to be, that the same guys, the fact that the same folks who did Phineas and Ferb are involved, that pretty much means that this show is going to be a good end. Period. Doesn't matter what they do, it's going to be great, hands down. And the fact that they would, have this role specifically for Weird Al, I mean, come on, you can't... And he loves what they do, I mean, come on, you can't just...
He's been on Phineas and Ferb as well.
Yeah, you cannot look at this and not say that this show is going to be great.
Mm.
It's It's gonna be fine. It is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this may actually be really good. I'm really hoping that it is. We have not seen anything. We've seen a little bit of animation. They did a little teaser trailer with all the new shows that are coming on Disney XD. I think it was to kind of reassure everyone that there's going to be some good cartoons on this show. One of those shows that they showed in that trailer is another Disney XD show called Lego Star Wars The Freemaker Adventures.
Yep.
Now, again, we don't have too much information on this. I did as much digging as I could. So this is going to be created by the same guys who have been doing the Lego Star Wars, like, little direct-to-DVD movie things that they've been doing recently. But this is a completely original property. This is completely original with completely original characters. And as far as we can tell, this is set in either before or during the original trilogy. Not really sure. We see the Emperor. We see Darth Vader. So it has to be either before the original trilogy or sometime around the original trilogy.
It is during the original trilogy, and it actually takes place between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Well, there you go. There you go. So thank you very much for that. I had a hard time trying to find information, so thank you.
Okay.
So are you excited about this?
Well, first of all, I'm a huge fan of the Lego Star Wars stuff in general. And again, I love the little cartoons they do, Joy Tales. And I love those. I mean, those are just way too much fun to do. And that's not even counting the game. I mean, seriously. I mean, I have Star Wars: The Complete Saga for my Wii, and I can play that all day long.
Are you excited for The Force Awakens? The Lego Star Wars Force Awakens?
Yes. And having seen the film, it's like already there's just so much awesome that's going to be put into that game. Once again, it's another one of those games where you're just going to have to, like, you're going to have to pry the Wii Pad and the Wiimote out of my hand. That's what I'm doing. I'm dead serious.
So I'm
really looking forward to it.
I'm just
really looking forward to this show in general.
Right.
It's something completely original. Granted, it does take place between episodes 5 and 6, but that's okay. Because, you know,
That's kind of an interesting time period, too, really, if you think about it. You know, this is before Return of the Jedi. It's after Empire Strikes Back. This is kind of an interesting idea, I think. This is an interesting time period itself. It's not taking place during Rebels. It's not taking place during any kind of other animated series that they're going to do. Because I have a sinking suspicion they might do once they're done with Rebels, I think they may be setting their sights on a show that has to do before Force Awakens.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Right. So, because there's so many years in between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, it would be a shame if they didn't. But anyways.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that too.
So I agree. If this is going to be a show very much in the vein of the Lego Star Wars games, I'm all for it. I'll watch it. Very, very excited. Okay. Now, the last one was just recently announced. In fact, I believe this was announced last week as of the recording of this episode of Cartoon Connoisseur Theater. That is, they are bringing a Big Hero 6 television series to Disney XD. What do you think?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, if they do it right, and if they, because again, sadly, I am one of those few people who have sadly not seen Big Hero 6 yet. I know.
What?
I know. I ought to turn up my geek card right here and now for that. But again, all that'll change after tonight. I can tell you that much right now. You know, you're going to have to sit down and be up until 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. However, I say go for it. It makes sense, and the nature of the characters and the nature of what the film did and who these characters are. I mean, you pretty much already have got, you know, a good foundation to start off.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, this was I really enjoyed Big Hero 6. I know that there were some people who didn't like it as much. I thought it was a pretty decent story. Was it the best Disney movie ever? No. But it was a fun story. They had fun characters. Baymax was amazing. I love Baymax. I don't think there's hardly anyone who doesn't love Baymax. I met him at the parks and gave him a big hug right away because you have to give him a hug. You know? but I was actually kind of floored by this announcement that they were bringing Big Hero 6 to animated form. Now, there are several questions I have. First, is this going to be hand-drawn, traditionally drawn, flash, animated, or computer-generated? That's what I want to know. Secondly, how is this going to do with shows like Tangled, which is coming out soon, probably about next year or so? They're doing a Tangled animated series. They're doing DuckTales. They're doing Big Hero 6. They have, Milo's Murphy's Law. They have all this stuff and stuff going at the same time. So I really think Disney XD is going to be the place to really watch these shows. And I'm not getting paid by Disney right now. So this is actually my honest opinion. I believe that Disney XD is probably is going to become the next what Cartoon Network was back in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the way Disney's been going, honestly, I mean, with so many good shows that they got coming up.
Well, just for Disney XD, just Disney XD itself.
Yeah, I mean, just with so many shows, coming down the pike. Honestly, Disney's in a fine position to pretty much, start taking over the cartoon airwaves. I mean, yeah, you got the Hub, and you got Cartoon Network. But,
well, not the Hub anymore. Hub is not around anymore. But,
but still, Disney really is in a prime position. They really, really are. And honestly, I really feel they can do a lot more, even with the properties they now have in regards to Star Wars and Marvel. And again, with Star Wars, they're already not hitting the ball out of the park already. Between Rebels, that is still ongoing and it's getting really good, and of course with a new Lego Star, with a new actual, this time with the brand of Lego, of course, they already got that down pat.
Well, I know that they're already having huge success with Star vs. the Forces of Evil, which is one of my favorite shows. If you haven't listened to my review podcast of it, it's a really great show. With Rebels, they have Ultimate Spider-Man, and they have Guardians of the Galaxy, and they have the Avengers, which I have to say I'm not really a big fan of any of those, although I have not watched Guardians of the Galaxy, so again, I can't give it a stamp of approval yet, or disapproval, so I've not actually watched it. I know they have a stellar voice cast for it, but that's about all I know.
One thing I have to mention very quickly. The thing about the Marvel cartoons is that, unfortunately, and I don't know if it's because a certain Marvel chief creative officer is on there or whatnot, I don't know what's going on, but it's like the two shows, Avengers Assemble and Ultimate Spider-Man, they don't really seem to have the quality that was there from previous incarnations, like Avengers Earth's Mightiest Hero. Or, Spectacular Spider-Man, which, of course, Spectacular Spider-Man is my son.
Right. But
in terms of quality.
At the same time, though...
They don't have that.
At the same time, though, Ultimate Spider-Man has been going on for a while now. I mean, Ultimate Spider-Man has been going on since the original Avengers movie came out. So...
They have to be doing
something right if they keep going. I've seen Avengers Assemble... I'm not a big fan of it. They're trying too hard to be like the movie, and I have to say it's a show that's not targeted for me. It's not for me.
No, it's not.
But I have not seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet, so I will give that a try, and maybe do a future podcast about it. But I have not watched it, so I can't say whether I like it or dislike it. So we'll see how that goes. But, I feel that Disney XD is really pitted to become a powerhouse for Disney. And not just because originally this was supposed to be the Disney Channel for boys. you know, this was supposed to be the because Disney Channel, I think even Disney realized that Disney Channel was really skewing more for all the girls out there, and there wasn't really much for guys to watch. And I think they made that decision to turn Toon Disney, which made me angry at first, but and turned it into Disney XD, which is at first was again the boy version of Disney Channel, and then slowly but surely has really just kind of risen to its own kind of power, you know. And it's been this thing that I don't even like I said, except for Girl Meets World, I don't really know of any shows that people are watching on the original Disney Channel. I mean, I can't even think of cartoons that are on the original Disney Channel, because Gravity Falls isn't on there anymore. They may be showing Phineas and Ferb. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I think the only thing I don't like about Disney XD is their sitcoms. But again, I'm not the target audience for their sitcoms. The target audience is for younger kids and for like those tweenage kids. So that's where they skew towards. So, you know, for me, it's just not worth it. Although it is kind of weird to see the voice of Naruto actually in one of those shows, but I digress on that. but anyways, so that's pretty much our episode for today. Let me quickly say, if you have any opinions on this show, or if there are shows that are coming out that you want to talk about, please message us. We are part of the Arcade Archives Network. We are a podcast that's part of the Arcade Archives Network, and our home website is thearcadearchives.com. And you can go on there, and if you're listening to this on the post, right below the post, there's a place to leave comments. So please leave comments below, because we want to hear from you guys. We want to know. And if you comment, we will read these comments on a future episode. So feel free to comment, and it doesn't really even matter what older episode that you're commenting on. Also, remember, we're on Instagram. So go to the Arcade Archives Network on Instagram. You can leave comments there. You can also go to Twitter at Arcade A Network, again, at Arcade A Network, and you can also leave comments there on Twitter as well. Also remember, thearcadearchives.com is your source for all things nerdy. We are a nerd blog that is trying to bring back the feel of those old school arcades. Not only did they sit and they played video games, but they also talked about anything that was going on that was in that nerd culture, about video games, about movies, about all the things that make us nerds. So you can find other podcasts besides Cartoon Connoisseur Theater. You can find Pokemon Rewind. You can find The Electric Circus. You can find a new podcast, which will be coming out soon, that's dedicated to Nintendo. So get excited about that. You can also find webcomics there. My webcomic, Tales from the Game Grid, along with Saga of the Seven Steves. You can also find articles that are written by my man, Danny the Ultrasonic Player, Ray Gunn, the creator of the Arcade Archives Network, and myself as well. So check it out. Find all the stuff on there. Like it. Subscribe. Just really enjoy it. Now, if you're listening to this on iTunes, we need you to give us a review. So please give us a review. Let us know what you think. We want to know what you think. We don't care if you don't give us 5 stars, but if you do give us 5 stars, we'd be grateful for that too. But it helps other people find this podcast. And if you have any ideas on how to improve or how to continue out this podcast, please let us know. Now, I've talked a lot already, so Danny the Ultrasonic Player, why don't you give us where they can find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Ultrasonic9. And of course, I'm also on fanfiction.net under the pen name Ultrasonic, so you can check out my stuff there. And of course, as Josh already said, I basically contribute articles to the Arcade Archives website, so check them all out.
He's in charge of our video game boombox articles, and he also does articles on his own as well. So he's been doing a great job with that, so thank you very much, Danny.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Thank you again so much for listening to the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater podcast. We're going to try to bring these out once a month if we can. So instead of being once a week like the Pokemon Rewind has been, we're going to just bring this out once a month. It's going to be with me and Danny for now. And who knows, maybe we'll be drawing in other people, maybe some special guests. We shall see. So keep tuned to thearcadearchives.com. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and on the site as well. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, please make sure you comment below. So again, thank you so much for joining us here, folks. Come back and see us again soon, sometime. And best wishes to everyone out there. Right, Danny?
That's right. Best wishes, everyone.
You are listening to a podcast on the Arcade Archives Network. If you like what you've just heard, visit our website at arcadearchives.com, where you can check out our audio podcasts, articles, and announcements of upcoming events. You can also email us at arcadearchivesnetwork@gmail.com. You can also go to iTunes and download not just this podcast, but our other ones as well. And be sure to leave us 5-star reviews, too, while you're at it. So until next time, keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.